Not seeing any, we'll go on to item number five, presentation from the GLO, update on the Central Region River Basin Studies.
Yes, Chair, if I may.
Okay, go ahead, Gigi. Anthony,
if I may say, I think Jonathan, I think can't see your camera. I think, you know, we are mandated to be on the camera, I guess, for our facial recognition, maybe. Thank you.
Thank you, Suji. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, so the General Land Office with the State of Texas, they are currently doing a study. They're doing several studies, actually, across the southeast portion of the state. They're doing hydraulic modeling, looking at flood risk, and developing flood mitigation projects. And we've been coordinating with them with this planning effort to make sure we're all on the same page between the Texas Water Development Board and the GLO on our efforts, and that any work that they do gets incorporated into the floodplain, and any work that we do, we just reciprocate data information, and we've been doing that. But I thought it'd be good, since we've got new people coming on board, and we haven't really had them present since the last cycle, thought it'd be good for them to come and present where they're at and where they're going and how they kind of relate to what we're doing with regional flood planning. So I believe Will with HR Partners is gonna present, so I'll hand it off to you, Will.
Awesome, thank you. As you said, there's been a lot of exciting data sharing so far in the study between us and the regional flood planning group. So I just wanted to give you all an update on what that data sharing piece has looked like and what the opportunities going forward are as we get into the study, but also generally in the study, this has been a pretty eventful time. We just ended a big month-long meeting series of showcasing some new flood modeling that we've developed. So I'll talk some about that. And then also, if y'all aren't familiar, there's something that the GLO is developing called the MADGE tool, which is a funding resource that I'll go into as well. So before I really dive in, we just have a couple slides of introductions. Obviously, our team is a lot bigger than those on the screen. But these are some of those key people. So for the central region within the River Basin Flood Study, we're led by Fries and Nichols. And then the outreach, which I'm a part of, is coordinated by H2O Partners in coordination with Dewberry. So next slide. And then just another round of introductions. Obviously, this flood study has been initiated and is supported by the GLO. So we'd just like to call out some of those key contacts for us. In the central region. In particular, over the last month, as I mentioned, we had a lot of different workshops showcasing our new flood models. And with IGR, Shannon Longoria, and Melissa Washington, we're in attendance at pretty much all of those. So they've been a big part of this process and a big help. Next slide. So this is the agenda I'm going over today. I'll go over kind of an overview of the study and some background if any of y'all aren't familiar or maybe you need a refresher. I'll go through a recap of what the central region has been up to and kind of where we're at in the process of this study. And then specifically, I'll get into that data sharing piece between the regional flood planning groups and the GLO. And then, as I said, I'll talk about the MADGE tool a little bit and then overall next steps for both the study and the MADGE tool. So some general background, if y'all aren't familiar, the General Land Office initiated this study to provide disaster-impacted counties along the Texas coast with new flood modeling that will identify flooding hotspots and support project development. So again, I'm here representing the central region. We're flanked by the western and eastern regions, as you can see there on the map. So those three regions all include counties that were impacted by Hurricane Harvey. And then that fourth one at the bottom, the lower Rio Grande Valley, those were counties that were impacted by flooding in 2015 and 2016. So there's several main goals, the first of which I've already talked a little bit about, which is the development of that new baseline flood modeling within these regions. We're actually going a couple steps further, and these are kind of the next phases we'll get into that I'll talk a little bit more about. The next thing will be an alternatives analysis, which is where we will go in and using the flood modeling, start to identify some large scale or regional flood projects to potentially suggest for the communities in these regions. The key words there are large scale and regional. The focus of this study and the projects that come out of it are going to be multi-jurisdictional, at the regional scale. And then the final step that we're taking in the study will be to actually try to align those identified projects with funding opportunities. And then as you can see in the note there at the bottom of the screen, this is a one-time planning effort, and the data that comes out of this study will be used to support current and future regional flood plans, which again, with the data sharing piece, I'll get more into here in a little bit. So on this slide, we have just kind of a general breakdown of what the phasing of the study has looked like. So it started off with a big data collection effort. Obviously, we looked at or collected a lot of hard data sets and modeling files that were already available within the region to, you know, kind of support and buttress the modeling that we created in this study. But that also included a lot of other things, much of which was provided by the regional flood planning group. So flood-prone areas, identifying projects that were already planned or in development within the central region. You know, we had in-person meetings during the data collection phase where people brought in, you know, photos from their communities where flooding had happened before. So a lot went into that, and that kind of provided the launching pad to get into the evaluation of flood risk, which is speaking to the baseline modeling that we've developed. So that's kind of where we're at in the study now, is having just completed that second yellow circle there on the screen. And then again, the next phase will be that alternatives analysis, where we're coming up with those new regional multi-jurisdictional scale projects. And then the final phase will be to provide funding support and technical assistance to get those projects implemented. So just to try to give y'all a little bit of context or scope on what the scope of this project and effort has been so far, we've got some kind of key milestones here. So that first number, the 50 stakeholder meetings, that number is actually put together before this past month where we went out to the communities to showcase the new modeling. So at this point, that number is closer to probably 65, I would say. But those have been held virtually in person with the regional flood planning groups previously. Again, just trying to get as much feedback and outreach and awareness for these models as we can. We've identified 1,010 projects within the central region. So that's referring to planned or existing projects that are already ongoing within the central region. We've accumulated almost 79,000 pieces of data. Over 7,000 of that was modeling files that provided a basis for the modeling we developed. And then throughout this process, we've had input from over 40 jurisdictions. And within the central region, the total area covered by our baseline modeling is almost 6,000 square miles. So a pretty significant, you know, scope here. So on this slide, we have a little bit more about that baseline modeling effort, just kind of a general overview and some technical details. So as I said, the overall area that that baseline modeling covers in our region is about 6,000 square miles. On the map there, in the blue, that shaded in area is where that modeling has been done. So that blue area is divided into 9 individual study areas. So that was kind of how we put together our outreach last month when we were going out and showcasing these models, is, you know, at least 1, maybe 2 workshops in each of the different study areas to showcase the individual models. But again, the overall goal of these is to get that regional kind of comprehensive understanding of flood risk at this larger scale. So to do that, a lot of different flood events were simulated in these models, anywhere from the 2-year flood all the way up to the 500-year. Coastal and compound flooding scenarios were run. So, you know, different combinations of precipitation and storm surge, things like that. And then to calibrate and validate these models, historical events were used to do that. So obviously Hurricane Harvey was a key one that was used all across the region. Another big one was Hurricane Ike, and then several non-tropical storms, just, you know, normal storm events were also used to calibrate and validate these models. So we've got a few slides here talking about the data sharing agreement between the regional flood planning groups and the GLO. And how that's kind of being implemented within this study. So that data sharing agreement was signed in July of 2021. That's pretty much right at the start of this study. We had collaboration during the first planning cycle. And I'll kind of go over some successes of what that looked like. And then during this now second planning cycle, there's some really nice opportunities for, you know, that continued sharing of data. So during the first flood planning cycle, Again, I want to thank y'all. We got a lot of great information from the regional flood planning groups, Region 8 here in particular. Some of what that looked like, you can see kind of an example there on the map. We had an online stakeholder map tool where we were able to plot data y'all provided to us on it. So that included flooded roads, flood-prone areas, areas of high flood concern, and kind of map it out in this way where stakeholders were able to go into the map, click on a flood-prone area, and see that, you know, it came from the regional flood planning group. So that was very helpful. Y'all also provided ongoing projects. Then, of course, the regional flood plans themselves and the supporting data that goes along with those. And then in return, back in the first flood planning cycle, the River Basin Flood Study provided other project data. So that would be flood infrastructure fund projects, CDBG projects, and then hazard mitigation plans and the projects within those. But I think broadly, just kind of the story of that sort of era of this data sharing agreement was stakeholders were definitely able to see, you know, the benefits of this data sharing and how, in particular, the regional flood planning group's help has really bolstered, you know, the effort we were able to put together with the study. And then, you know, both entities were able to incorporate this data sharing into their efforts during that time. So moving on to kind of what the future of this data sharing agreement will look like. So those models I've been talking about, again, there's 9 individual study areas that are on individual timelines of final approval, but those are all either approved at this point or should be within approximately like the next month, 6 weeks. So here pretty soon, our technical teams will be able to get with y'all and share those models and the data sets that go along with them. And then moving out beyond that, as I said, the next major phase of this study will be to start identifying and modeling potential flood projects within the central region. So as those are identified, we will share those with y'all. And then again, the final piece relates to funding. You know, we'll be able to share potential funding sources for those identified projects. So to speak a little bit more on the funding piece, there's another project that the GLO is working on. It's called the MATCH tool. If you're unfamiliar, MATCH is an acronym. It stands for the Mitigation Assistance for Tailoring Choices tool. And the objective of the tool, it's pretty straightforward. It's there on the screen. It's to align unfunded or concept mitigation projects with funding sources. So this was something that the GLO identified as a critical need, particularly after the recovery efforts from Harvey. You know, there have been pretty significant state and federal funding commitments made for flood projects, but even with that being the case, they found that communities were still having issues, whether it was administrative things, technical barriers, funding issues, with actually accessing the appropriate funding to get their projects put into place. So that was kind of the story of what created this understanding for a critical need for a tool that is accessible and user-friendly, to kind of match up and connect the dots between funding sources that are out there and projects that people need to get put in the ground. So in the development of this tool, this was the approach that our development team used to put it together. So the first step was an environmental scan. And basically what that means is they looked at other tools related to funding or other resources related to funding within the state and tried to identify maybe where some gaps in those available resources were. And then they also looked across the whole country, right? Because, you know, elsewhere there have been other programs and resources put together to assist with funding. So we wanted to take any lessons learned or any successful features in those programs and put them into this tool. And then from there, they started the user engagement phase. So that was done through a lot of different means, surveys, workshops, consultations, and all of that basically was to try to get feedback from the stakeholders that would actually be using the tool, just to understand, you know, what would this tool need to look like for you to actually want to use it day to day? Like what problems do you have that you need the tool to solve? What features does it need to have for you to actually want to use it? So after getting that feedback, they created a requirement analysis, which is basically just a document saying, you know, to be successful, the tool needs to be able to do X, Y, and Z. And then from there, they kind of moved into implementation and development to actually put the tool together. But next slide. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. So at this point, I've said the word tool a lot. It may not be really clear what that actually means. So hopefully this slide kind of brings that into focus a little bit. So this is a draft mockup of what the homepage of the tool will look like. So it's a website or something you log into online. So you come to this homepage, and from here you can kind of navigate to the different features. The four main features are highlighted there at the bottom in those like multicolored squares. So I'll kind of briefly describe what each of these are. So the first one related to funding opportunities, that'll basically be a database where you can search through all the available funding opportunities for flood projects. You can sort through, you know, the types of projects that they're looking to fund, grant application windows, eligibility criteria, and just be able to, you know, find appropriate funding for the type of thing you're trying to do. The next resource is for projects. So this would be sort of a similar exploratory database style thing. But in this one, you can look through existing or successfully funded projects. So one use case for this would be, you know, if you have a project in mind, you know exactly what you want to do, but you're not sure what kind of funding would be appropriate or be, you know, likely awarded to you for it. You could search in that database, look for similar projects to the one you're trying to do, and see what that funding process looked like for them, see how they got their project completed. The third one is application insights. It's kind of what it sounds like. It will generate, you know, insights and best practices, suggestions for your grant application based on the project type you're trying to implement and the funding source you're going for. So I'm sure y'all are aware, you know, these entities that, you know, are administering the grants can be pretty particular about word choice and phrasing and things like that. So issues like that are what this, you know, application insights tool is here to do, is to create the most, you know, successful competitive grant applications you can. And then the last resource is related to resources. So that is kind of speaking to this being a centralized tool. It'll have links to anything else that's not housed within those first three things I just talked about. And it also, you know, answers to frequently asked questions. So that's kind of what the tool looks like. And then next steps as they pertain specifically to the match tool. At this point, the team has completed development on the what they call the MVP. That stands for minimum viable product. It's basically the alpha version of the tool, the first usable version. So here in the past couple of weeks, they've just started their user acceptance testing, which basically means that MVP, that first version of the tool, has been released to a smaller group of stakeholders. To get kind of a first trial run done where they can try to break the tool, see what they like, see what they don't, and then give feedback. Once the team gets that feedback, they'll implement that into a more refined and finished version of the tool. And that finished version will be released widely to the state later this year. All right. And then here are our next steps kind of generally for the Central Region. That first one, the spring 2025 watershed meetings, those are the meetings I've been talking about that we did last month. So that first next step is mostly done at this point. Again, that next phase will be the alternatives analysis and project identification piece. I've got one more slide on that where I'll talk about that in a little bit more detail in terms of what that means for our modeling teams. And then the final piece of the study will again be that funding support and technical assistance in support of those projects. So as I said, here's a little bit more information on what that alternative analysis will actually look like in terms of the modeling effort. So a big piece of kind of understanding, you know, where and what kind of projects we're going to develop is identifying flood risk hotspots. So when we're determining those, you know, we don't just look at where are the greatest flood depths, right? We're looking at where are things that are, you know, vulnerable to flood that have the high potential to be damaged or destroyed during a flood. So we consider a lot of different factors in determining those hotspots. Several are there on the screen. We look at social vulnerability, flood risk to structures, so people's homes and businesses, flood risk to critical infrastructure. So that, you know, refers to a lot of different things, police departments, fire departments, you know, hospitals, schools, all of that would be fall under that category. And then also agricultural land and roadways are also considered. But using those hotspots we determine, using the baseline modeling that's been developed in this study, as well as any other best available data that we've been able to put together, those will all be things to kind of provide the starting point to start developing and modeling in detail these alternatives. Again, the emphasis here is on larger scale, multi-jurisdictional projects. And then, you know, as we have been since the beginning of this study, we'll continue that coordination with the regional flood planning groups, as well as any other studies or projects that are going on within the area, to just make sure we're minimizing any chance for duplication of efforts, and to just make sure we're providing the most novel, you know, unique and new benefit we can to the communities here. All right, and then this is kind of the similar information we've been talking about, just put on our timeline. So again, that baseline modeling effort, the final approval and completion of those models is pretty much done at this point. As those are fully approved and able to be shared, our engineering teams will be getting with y'all to transfer that data over to y'all. The next phase, as I've been saying, will be that alternatives analysis and project identification. As projects begin to be identified, we will be delivering y'all those recommended projects within the central region. And then again, as projects are identified, we'll kind of transition into that funding and technical assistance piece at the end of this year and the beginning of 2026. All right, I want to thank y'all again for giving me a chance here to talk about some of the things that the GLO is doing, both with the study and the match tool. If y'all have any questions after today, this is our central region email here on the screen. If you've ever gotten an invite to anything from us, this is the email it came from. So me and several others on the outreach team do check this inbox. So I encourage you to reach out if you have any questions or comments. But yeah, thank y'all again. Do I have any questions now?
Any questions or comments for Mr. Parker from the group members? I had one, Will.
Yes,
out of the 1,010 projects that y'all identified, did any of those make it into the recent state stormwater master plan?
I don't know that off the top of my head, to be honest. That is something I could get back with our, you know, engineering team and get that number for you to see if they did or not. But I'm not totally sure, to be honest.
Yeah, because that would just That's a lot of projects that would be under consideration. So that's why I was asking.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's putting together projects from a lot of different, you know, areas, right? Hazard mitigation plans, different funding sources, stuff like that. But again,
Sure. I got one other quick question. If you can go back two slides. Right there on the based on several factors, were those factors weighted or were they just evenly used to determine these hotspots?
Yeah, they were weighted. And this is not something that's been completed yet. This is still something the engineering team's, you know, currently working on. We, in our past meetings in April, we have created a map tool which kind of showed like a demonstration of where our modeling was. Or what the modeling looked like within the central region. And one of the layers we had in that tool was a draft set of hotspots, so not the final version, but where some of those might be. So I know from our engineering team, they've told me it's, you know, it is a calculation. They're not all evenly weighted. But at this point, I'm not sure if that calculation is totally final yet, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does. It would just seem it would parallel what we use to identify the FIF projects, because this group had put a lot of time coming up with all those different factors and the which ones we wanted to be weighted more or less. And I'm just throwing that out there for consideration.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great information to know. And I can let our engineering team know that and see if that's something we could coordinate on even more.
Any other, Sujeet?
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Parker, I want to ask you a question. You mentioned that you all have calibrated from 2 year to 500 year. Is that a fair answer?
Yeah, yes, sir.
So does your projects always go for the 2 years? So in your 1100 or whatever the number of projects you said, do they include all the lower year frequencies between anywhere from 2 to 10 or something? Does it include all of them?
So those projects that were identified, that 1,000 number, those weren't projects that were developed within this study. Those were things we collected prior. I'm just kind of to get an awareness of what's already being done within the central region. But I think going forward, as we start to develop projects, I mean, I think all of those would be considered. I know we would obviously weigh the, 100 year and maybe 500 year floodplains a little more than the 2 year event in terms of the projects. But I may not have a super granular detail or answer for y'all on that kind of stuff. I know our engineering teams will get with y'all and answer these questions once they're able to fully transfer those models over to you. Yeah, I hope that provides some kind of insight.
Any other?
I have a bad connection, but I think, hopefully it'll come to fruition. But you also mentioned that your models were calibrated for Hurricane Harvey and the Hurricane Ike. Is that well, that's what I heard?
Yes, sir. And that's not the only two. Those are just some of the big examples of, Harvey was used across the board for all of the individual study areas. And then Ike was a really frequently used one as well. And then, like I said, there's a few non-tropical storm scenarios that were also used to calibrate and validate.
Any other questions, Sujeev? Charlotte, we'll go to you next.
My intermittent connection on the internet, I apologize. I didn't hear. Y'all calibrated based on Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Ike. Is that what I heard?
Yes, that's correct, as well as some other storms.
So is it pretty much, where do y'all see with Hurricane Harvey? Because, we thought it was an outlier. So has the calibration techniques and gone to the outliers too?
I'm sorry, say that again. Could you say that again? I'm sorry, I didn't catch the end of that.
No, I'm sorry. I've been having issues on the internet. I don't know why, but has the calibration techniques have gone that we calibrate based on extreme events?
Yeah, and there were, each individual study area had several different events used to calibrate. So events of different severity and events of, like I was saying, especially for the coastal areas, different combinations of storm surge and precipitation. So several events, Harvey being chief among them, like I said, were used to calibrate each different individual zone within our region.
Thank you. I'm having issues.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Charlotte?
Yeah, my question was actually for our team. If Ryan or others could give us any sort of insights or commentary on what we heard today and how it's related to coordination and what's been feeding into our regional plan. I was just looking for that perspective.
Yeah, would you mind going up a few slides? Or think you got it. There's one with the blue area in the middle. Keep going. Right there. So right now what we're coordinating on is they did this modeling here in the blue region. We're basically going to collect the days that they calibrated these models, developed models, calibrated them using best available data. We're going to grab those models, look at them, compare them to what we have already. And like we presented last time, we're developing a flood quilt. This product will probably be the best available data for this region. And we'll incorporate that into our flood quilt. Anything else ongoing as far as if we identify projects or if we identify studies or if we complete studies, we'll be coordinating the GLO, giving that information back to them so they're not getting effort. We actually had some coordination last cycle where they spoke with us like, hey, what FMEs and FMPs did y'all identify? Which ones did y'all complete? And they went in as part of this alternative analysis and trying to fill in some of those gaps of the areas that we didn't perform. And likewise, whenever they start doing alternatives analysis, we're going to make sure that we're not duplicating effort in studying, doing FMEs or developing FMPs that are already being taken care of or being addressed by the GLO. So that's kind of on the side, the ongoing coordination that we'll be handling as we move forward. So.
Thanks, Ryan.
Any other questions or comments? I don't see any other hands. You see? Okay. We're good. Thank you, Mr. Parker, and thank you, Brian. We appreciate it. We'll move on.
Thank you very much.